On this second day of session, again, as is customary, we take up Dogen's Fukan Zazengi. This represents the Soto side of our lineage, even as case number one in the Wumen Guan represents the Rinzai aspect. Fukan Zazengi, a universal recommendation for Zazen, or advice on the principles of Zazen. 11th chapter of Shobogenzo, The Eye and Treasury of the True Law, by Dogen Keegan. The way is essentially perfect and exists everywhere. How could it be contingent upon practice and realization? The truth which carries us along is sovereign and does not require our efforts. Indeed, the whole body is far beyond the world's dust. Who could believe in a means to brush it clean? The way is completely present where you are. Is it then necessary to run around in search of it? And yet, if there is the slightest difference in the beginning between you and the way, the result will be a greater separation than between heaven and earth. If the slightest dualistic thinking arises, the mind is lost in confusion. You should pay attention to the fact that even the Buddha Shakyamuni had to practice Zazen for 6 years. It is also said that Bodhidharma had to do Zazen at Shaolin Temple for 9 years in order to transmit the Buddha mind. Since these ancient sages were so diligent, how can present-day trainees do without the practice of Zazen? You should therefore cease from practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words, and following after speech, and learn to withdraw and reflect upon yourself. When you do so, body and mind will naturally fall away, and your original face will be revealed. If you want to realize such a thing, you should begin Zen training and exert yourself in this matter at once. The study of Zen means the practice of Zazen. For Zazen, a quiet place is suitable. Day or night, it should not be dark. It should be kept warm in the winter and cool in the summer. Eat and drink moderately, and engage yourself in Zazen as though saving your head from fire. Cast aside all involvements, cease all affairs, and let the myriad things rest. Setting everything aside, do not think of good or evil, right or wrong. Halt the flow of the mind. Cease conceptualizing, thinking, and observing, and give up even the idea of becoming a Buddha. This holds true not only for seated Zazen, but for all your daily actions. At the site of your regular sitting, spread out a thick mat and place a firm round cushion on it. Sit on the cushion in either the full lotus or half lotus posture. In the full lotus posture, you first place your right foot on your left thigh and your left foot on your right thigh. Your robes should be worn loosely and arranged neatly. Then place your right hand on your left leg and your left palm facing upward on your right palm. Thumb tips touching lightly. Sit upright, leaning neither left nor right, front nor back. Your ears should be on the same plane as your shoulders, and your nose in line with your navel. Your tongue should be placed against the roof of your mouth, and your lips and teeth closed firmly. Your eyes should always remain open, and you should breathe gently through your nose. Having adjusted your body in this manner, take a deep breath and exhale fully. Sway your body left and right several times and settle into an immobile sitting posture. Then sit firmly as a rock and think of not thinking. How do you think of not thinking? By not thinking. This is the very basis of Zazen. The Zazen I speak of is not a way of developing concentration or learning meditation. It is not a means to enlightenment. It is simply the easy and pleasant practice of a Buddha, the realization of the Buddha's wisdom. Zazen itself is pure, natural enlightenment. It is the manifestation of ultimate reality. The truth appears, there being no delusion. Traps and snares can never reach it. If you understand my meaning and do Zazen correctly, you will be like a dragon who has reached the water or a tiger that reclines on a mountain. Know that the true Dharma itself is present there in Zazen, and that confusion and distractions are eradicated right from the beginning. When you rise from sitting, move slowly and quietly, calmly and deliberately. Do not rise suddenly or abruptly. When we contemplate the past, we find that transcending both the sacred and the profane, or such things as dying while either sitting or standing, have all depended entirely on the power of Zazen. Moreover, it is impossible to explain with words and analysis how the ancient masters could seize upon the crucial moment which brought about Satori in a disciple by pointing a finger, using the tip of a pole, a needle, or a mallet, and give encouragement with the hosu, a fist, a stick, or a shout. Neither can this be understood through supernatural power or a dualistic view of practice and enlightenment. Practice and enlightenment are the majestic deportment of the body beyond the sights and sounds of this world. What can they be other than the Dharma, which is prior to understanding and analysis? Therefore, there is no question here at all of being intelligent or stupid, nor is there any difference between the quick-witted and the dull. To practice the way single-mindedly is in itself enlightenment. There is no gap between practice and enlightenment, or Zazen and daily life, and a person who advances in the way is an ordinary person. The Buddhas and ancestors, both in this world and in India and in China, have all preserved the Buddha mind and enhanced Zen training. You should therefore devote yourself exclusively to and be completely absorbed in the practice of Zazen. You may hear of 10,000 distinctions or 1,000 differences, but just do Zazen earnestly and make an effort in the way. You have already had the good fortune to be born with a precious human body. Do not pass over from the light to the shadow by pursuing other matters. Do not waste your time meaninglessly. Now that you know what is the most important thing in Buddhism, how can you be satisfied with the transient world? Our bodies are like dew on the grass, and our lives like a flash of lightning, vanishing in a moment. So exert yourself in the way that points directly to your original nature. Respect those who have realized full knowledge and have nothing more to do. Become one with the wisdom of the Buddhas and succeed to the enlightenment of the ancestors. If you do Zazen for some time, you will realize all this. The treasure house will open of itself, and you will be able to enjoy it to your heart's content. Delivered to the monks of Kipoji in November 1243. The Shoba Genzo is a huge work of 95 fascicles on all aspects of practice and realization. But it is significant that although the Fukan Zazengi is listed as chapter 11, it was the very first thing that Dogen wrote when he returned from China. The Fukan Zazengi is the fundamental work on and description of our practice of Zazen. And it was obviously a very high priority for Dogen. The difficulty here, of course, is that we say we are constrained, even imprisoned, by words and concepts. And at the same time, we use words and concepts all the time. In fact, of all the various sects of Buddhism, it seems to me that the Zen teachers talk and write more words than anybody. Dogen himself is hugely prolific. But as a poet, as well as a teacher and mystic, Dogen understood the limitations of words better than most, and was especially adept at not just getting around them, but using those limitations, which exist only in our minds, as a prod in our own thinking to get us to go beyond. He's extraordinarily free in his use of language. Words and phrases constantly shift in their meanings. Reading Dogen is a bit like walking on quicksand. So today, by way of examining this issue, I'm going to go over the first few parts, couple of parts, line by line, and we'll see how far we get. Keep in mind that Dogen Zen is predicated on the fact that we are already, from the very beginning, fundamentally enlightened, and that everything is fundamentally empty. The first line reads, "The way is essentially perfect and exists everywhere." The way, the Tao. What is this way that Dogen says is perfect and exists everywhere? The word Tao is translated as the way. Well, what way is that? Is it the way we are? The way of the world? The way we want to be? The way to get there? The way of enlightenment? Is it about a way of being? A way of acting in the world? A way of spiritual practice? Well, it's all of the above, but in the end, it is none of the above. The way is perfect like vast space, beyond the easy and the hard, writes Sung San. It is beyond the one and the many, beyond words and thought, good and evil, being and not being, existence and not existence, and on we could go. It is utterly and totally beyond anything that the discursive mind can analyze, talk about, think about, imagine, speculate upon, long for, or be afraid of. Elsewhere, Dogen says, "Buddha Dharma cannot be known by a person. Only Buddhas know Buddha Dharma." Lex Hickson writes concerning Prajnaparamita, which is just another word for the Tao or the way. He says, "You cannot understand because there is absolutely nothing finite to understand. You are not lacking in refinement of intellect. There is simply nothing separate or substantial in Prajnaparamita, or the Tao, to which the intellect can be applied. Because perfect wisdom does not present any graspable or thinkable doctrine and offers no describable method of contemplation. No one can truly taste any level of realization from the beginning point of entering wholeheartedly into the stream of contemplative cultivation to the final goal of full enlightenment without patiently accepting the ultimate elusiveness of truth. It always remains beyond finite or conventional teaching, beyond explanation, description, or designation. So this Tao is indefinable and undefinable, and yet we seek it. We seek it in our lives and especially in our Zazen. The way is essentially perfect and exists everywhere. Essentially perfect. Perfect is a loaded word. We all want to be perfect. But to desire that sort of perfection is to bring in imperfection. To desire good is to create evil. That's just the way the mind works. The more we try to become perfect in that way, the more we become obsessed with faults and imperfections. So when Dogen says that this undefinable, ungraspable way, which is beyond all possible concepts of perfect and imperfect, is perfect, what is he saying? Is there a perfection that transcends perfect versus imperfect? Take, for example, a tree giving shade or a cloud giving rain. How much does the tree really know about shade or a cloud about rain? This transcendent perfection of giving is not about any concepts or intent of giving. By the same token, our Zazen is not about any concepts or intention of Zazen, or concentration, or enlightenment. This is Paramita, transcendent perfection. This is the perfection of the ungraspable. The Tao is itself the ultimate, ungraspable perfection. It is a perfection that is completely independent of and beyond any concepts or thoughts or ideas of perfection, imperfection, good or bad. It is the ultimate perfection of that which is. The way is essentially perfect and exists everywhere. It is said to exist, but nothing exists independent of everything else. Nagarjuna says, the 12 constituents, he's referring to the 12 steps of dependent origination, do not originate from causes like space, primordial matter, natural order, spirit, nor through dependence upon other God, time, intrinsic being, chance, circumstance, free will, and so on. They are, meaning really all dharmas, interdependently originated, as the roof beams of a house depend upon one another. To speak of anything as existing or not existing in any other way than as cause and effect, as all causes and all effects, is to cut it loose from any possible human experience, and thus it becomes totally irrelevant to our practice and realization, or to any other consideration. The only way in which one can say that the Tao exists is to say that it exists as all in all, with nothing separate or outside. Any concept of existence versus non-existence is delusion. It's a false question. The way is essentially perfect and exists everywhere. It exists everywhere. Everywhere and every when, utterly, without limitation of word, thought, concept, imagination, or time or place. The way is utterly free. It is freedom, the very freedom that we seek. So there it is, the ungraspable, indefinable way. Is perfect beyond any concepts of perfection or imperfection, and exists beyond existence and non-existence everywhere, every when, with no limits whatsoever. Every single perceived entity or dharma is that way, including every part of ourselves, right here and right now. Dogen continues, how could it be contingent on practice and realization? How indeed? Do we see here how Dogen is not asking a question so much as pointing out an absurdity? Practice is the Tao. No practice is the Tao. Realization is the Tao. Ignorance is the Tao. Everything is the Tao. Nothing is the Tao. The Tao does not depend on practice and realization any more than the ocean depends upon our swimming in it. The truth which carries us along is sovereign and does not require our efforts. The Tao is complete freedom. This Tao, or truth, carries us whether we know it or not, as the current of a river carries water. Which is the current? Which is the water? Are they in any way separate? Where could there possibly be effort? If we are searching for a goal, if we are working toward something, we will never get there. It is only when we drop the goal that we find that we are already there and always have been. We are the river, the water, the current. We do not do zazen in order to gain enlightenment. We do zazen because we are already intrinsically enlightened. We don't walk around in order to acquire legs. It is our legs that enable us to walk. Our walking is an expression of our legs, just as our zazen is an expression of our enlightenment. Dogen continues, indeed, the whole body is far beyond the world's dust. Who could believe in a means to brush it clean? The worldly dust of concepts, thoughts, imaginings, beliefs, feelings, views, ideas, notions, emotions, reasons, ad nauseam. And yet these do seem to get in the way, and we sometimes think of practice as brushing the mind clean. There is a desire to get rid of stuff, but that won't work. Master Kazan writes, some people want to have it all white, but sweep as you will never empty the mind. It's not about getting rid of anything. It's just seeing clearly their true nature. When we do, we see that all that stuff make up the Tao itself, young Ja, whose Song of Enlightenment we are reciting during this session, says, "The real nature of ignorance is the Buddha nature itself. The empty dilusory body is the very body of the Dharma." Dogen continues, "The way is completely pleasant present where you are. Is it then necessary to run around in search of it?" No, it isn't necessary to run around searching for anything. We're not engaged in a search here. That would be like a fish running around in search of water. Or better yet, water searching for water. If enlightenment were a thing or a condition that is outside us, how do you propose to acquire it? We're not looking to find something. We're not looking to get away from anything. The process is a whole lot simpler than we imagine. And yet, if there is the slightest difference in the beginning between you and the way, the result will be a greater separation than between heaven and earth. If the slightest dualistic thinking arises, the mind is lost in confusion. And yet, there always seems to be that, and yet. As soon as we ascribe any kind of separate reality to anything, we're done for. Feng Shui says in case 61 in the Hekigan Roku, "If you set up a single atom of dust, the nation flourishes. If you do not set up a single atom of dust, the nation perishes." To say that any one thing exists is to say that everything exists. To say that one thing does not exist is to say that nothing exists. Once we go down that road of separate existences, this is this, that is that, there is no end to it. We're not allowed to accord a separate self to anything. To separate one thing from another, when there is no basis in their fundamental emptiness and interbeing, is to place an unbridgeable chasm between you and the Tao. Dogen continues, "You should pay attention to the fact that even the Buddha Shakyamuni had to practice Zazen for 6 years. It is also said that Bodhidharma had to do Zazen at Shaolin Temple for 9 years in order to transmit the Buddha mind. Since these ancient sages were so diligent, how can present-day trainees do without the practice of Zazen?" If we never walk, the legs we were born with are useless as if we had never had them in the first place. If we do not practice, our inherent enlightenment is equally useless. The notion that because we are fundamentally enlightened and we don't need to practice or pay attention to our lives is a most disastrous misconception. You should therefore cease from practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words and following after speech, and learn to withdraw and reflect upon yourself. When you do so, body and mind will naturally fall away, and your original face will be revealed. Yeah, thinking won't get you there. Words, speculation, ideas, concepts, scenarios won't do it. The most difficult thing in the world is the giving up of all this, because it is giving up the separate self. It is the most difficult thing and the most necessary. To withdraw and reflect upon ourselves, in other words, do Zazen. Body and mind naturally fall away. It's already happening in this session. All we need to do is continue. If you want to realize such a thing, you should begin Zen training and exert yourself in this matter at once. Exert yourself in the matter. Is there a contradiction here? First, the man says it does not require our efforts, and then he says, exert yourself. Well, the mountain does not need us to be a mountain, but we need to climb the mountain in order to know the mountain. So it's really up to each one of us to exert ourselves in this matter. It's not about huffing and puffing or straining after something. It's just about sinking into the practice and letting everything else go. Yes, we must work hard, and we must work correctly. We must focus carefully on the practice and maintain that focus as best we can. But we can also practice with a deep and abiding faith and confidence that we are not looking for something far away or separate from ourselves, nor are we trying to create something that is not already there from the very beginning. Mu practices mu. The breath practices the breath. Zazen practices zazen. Buddha practices Buddha. As we practice our enlightenment, so our enlightenment practices us. And together with all beings, we realize Buddhahood.